Hello, welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie Marie.
Hello, Christine Marie.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling stiff and poofy. Puffy. Puffy dad.
Poofy, puffy.
Yes, that's what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling, Dave?
Well, I am in a little bit of shock, but it's...
Shock? Why?
I saw a commercial this week.
Mm.
For the first time.
Yes.
AARP, I guess I shouldn't have said that first, but AARP,
yes,
a commercial said, are you prepared to live the other half of your life over 50? I think that's how it said it. The next half of, they were implying that you're going to live to 100.
And they're implying that half your life is over 50.
That's what I wanted to say.
Half your life
that's
is over
50. That's
what
I wanted to say.
And at 50... being there.
The middle.
I feel that people think of me as irrelevant now. Like, you know, and how is that possible?
Get out of the way, girlfriend.
Get out of the way. You're taking up too much space. You're 50?
So I'm just like, okay, so.
You have made your millions in Bitcoin.
And I was watching Greg Braden this week.
Yes. All right, good.
His show is Transhumanism,
something like that. Yeah.
And he said that he is going to make it to 200.
Oh, so okay.
He's doubling down.
In the last 2 to 3 years, for whatever reason, I have, this is hitting the face.
But then let me just,
one more time. Please
so do. One of the preachers that I listened to.
Okay, preacher
Kenneth
man.
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
He said 120.
He's 120.
He's biblical. He says, in the Bible, it says you can live to 120. And at that date, he said he's just prepared to just drop his fleshly body and be in the spirit.
Just like the Buddha.
He's not going to even die. He's just going to drop. Yeah, just like the Buddhas do. So all of a sudden, in a period of a week, I've got 100, 120, and 200.
Where do you fall? Where do you want to fall?
What's that movie, Skyfall?
Yeah. Skyfall. I think, what's her name? Like any of the, hello.
Oh, yeah.
What's
Adele.
Name? Adele. I think Adele sings that song, Skyfall. Yeah. I think she's the one that got that, that gig. So, okay. So intuitively, where are you falling?
Hopefully not down the steps.
Okay.
I'm not going to say.
Hopefully, if you fall on, you can still get back up.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Okay. I was thinking about that.
All right.
So, okay, I'm thinking of 100. Let's just say 100.
Yeah.
And a viable 100.
Yeah.
And then here's my next thought. I'm putting you on baby aspirin. Because you got you.
Oh, you put me on baby aspirin.
Yes.
Okay, you're right. I should start taking my daily baby aspirin to keep the blood flowing smoothly.
Because if I'm going to be 100, you're going to have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. I have to. And if you're going to be 120, my ass has got to make it to 100.
Yeah.
Well, I've always asked God. I said, God, just one more day.
Oh, one more day than mommy.
One more day than mommy and daddy. Just one more day, you know.
And what are you going to do in that day, girlfriend?
I probably will take a nice warranted nap.
And what if Elliot's still alive?
Elliot will not be still alive, but some form of an Elliot might be. Smaller. Or maybe by that time it'll be robotic.
Yes, you have a robotic pet.
Yes.
We can have that now.
One that will like notify the authorities like, oh, her expiration date expired. Please.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. Please call the morgue. It's time to. Well, you know, it's funny because I have been wondering about like if you keep pushing these times forward.
Right.
And faster.
Right.
First of all, we have to take care of these bodies a lot better.
100%. Well, like Methuselah said.
Yes.
Methuselah, who is Enoch's son, he lived like 800 and something years, maybe a little bit
real
more.
Real biblical.
Yeah.
These are deep dive.
Yeah. But he said during those 800 years, he had, it wasn't as if he had like, you know, one liver.
Right.
He transformed his liver.
Right.
And kept growing new ones. As long as he needed them.
And we do know that there's technology out there now.
Coming.
And coming. That they can take a certain stem cell.
Right.
And take it and make it into a certain...
Whatever they want it to be.
And so there, and it's...
Not impossible.
No. And I find it very fascinating because we are growing by... Our lives are changing so quickly and yet not changing at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you're just like, okay, how is this all playing out? How's this all working? Mm. You know? And it's a little freaky. But the one thing I would like to say is that, you know, we had the shower last night. And the one thing that did not change that most of the people there...
The baby shower.
...were depressed. Because this is the last season of the Kardashians.
Oh.
I thought that is so, like, what is it that we love Kardashians?
I know. Because you know why? It's the 1 hour, oh, you know, a day or a week where you just sit down, you just have your Diet Coke or whatever. Yeah. And you just go, damn, those girls got money. What in the heck did they do to deserve that?
And I think it's more like visual eye candy because it is bright.
Yeah, thank God.
Like, they're always, it's always sunny in California.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, what?
I don't think we've ever seen the rain on a Kardashian.
No, it never has rained on a Kardashian.
I don't even think it snows on the Kardashians.
It doesn't, unless they go for their once a year snow vacation.
In Montana.
Right, because they need to remind themselves that the world does have four seasons. And only in their circle, their hemisphere, it's always sunny.
And I'm sure they went, I remember one time they went, Illinois, I don't know where that's at. It's like somewhere, and the people are fat there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, they like a lot of food there.
And I think their fat is a lot of, it's very, you know, like it starts at like...
It's duck fat.
It's like 20, it's like if you're 20 pounds heavier, that's where that's just everything beyond that is fat. Like, okay, gotcha. Well, I was watching...
20 pounds, come on.
I know. I call that just a nice weekend or a good cruise. Like, oh, I came back 20 pounds heavier. Oh, you were on a cruise? Yeah, that's what happened. And how, you know, you wonder, does the joy of gaining those vacation weight or COVID weight equal the pain? Like, is it proportionate? I don't think the joy is, I think the pain is much harder to lose it.
Life is, unfortunately.
It is.
It's like, you know, I've heard people say, oh man, I had a great conference.
Yeah.
People were just were applauding me and everything. And one person said, you know, I kind of heard all this before. You're like, oh no, one person.
Yeah.
You get 99 thumbs up and then one thumb in your butt.
And then you want to shiz into that person who had heard it all before, like, then, dude, if you heard it all before, why'd you need to still come? Why hasn't your life changed? There's something wrong with you. How many more times do you need to be reinforced? Moron.
Yeah. Now you're letting it all hang out.
Now I'm letting it all hang out. Exactly.
Well, talk about the baby shower a little bit.
Okay.
We talked about it last week, about how it was going to be and how this week actually was... Okay, I thought that it turned out beautifully.
It did.
I mean, for this back porch that Douglas has, and it was a filthy, filthy mess.
Yeah, it was bordering on quarters.
We spent like two or three days cleaning it.
Yes.
And then just like on Home and Garden TV, we got it down to a clean palette.
Clean slate, clean palette to work with. Beautiful.
We would call it... They would call it demoing.
Yeah.
But we got it down to... And then we started putting everything in.
Yeah.
And I'm reimagining the space for like 13 people.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, pretty good size.
Yes.
And we had the three people that were supposed to be throwing this, us and the two girls.
Yes.
One of the girls completely forgot everything but a table.
Remember the table because I reminded her and met her the next day. So like she forgot everything.
So she brought the car table. She was all in to make 2 dozen cupcakes for like 3 weeks, and she forgot to make the cupcakes. No, she forgot butter.
Right.
So she stopped and bought cupcakes on the way to meet you.
Yes.
And the other girl brought ice.
Yeah.
So it was up to us to do everything else. But we enjoyed it. We did. And we did enjoy.
I did.
And I mean, at the very end, you said your knees were hurting so bad. You said, you girls, I'm just going to boss you around for the next 2 hours.
And they said, okay, and that's fine.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I'm like, good. Because they knew at that point. And that was a thing. And in some
but
ways.
But it was pretty. And it just pretty. Looked great.
It was gorgeous.
The food was good.
We did the vignettes. We did everything. Yes. It all worked out.
Yes.
You know, and I think that was the
And key. here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
We had it on a Saturday. She's delivering the baby by C-section Tuesday.
Yes.
That was, we were like.
Oh my God.
Just in time. That's the baby's name.
Yeah.
No, she's
well,
a girl.
Well, it was so interesting because I wish I would have, like we played a guessing game, like, you know, get to know, you know, Ashley and stuff like that. I don't care if I say her name. It's good. But it was cute because I like, what was your favorite show? And it was, The Kardashians. Uh-huh. And I thought to myself, I'm looking at her face and I go, I should have recognized it because she has trained her face to be emotionless.
Yeah.
Like, oh. I never, unless she's getting Botox already, which she could be.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like the one thing the Kardashians have
is that flat look.
Right. So, because God forbid we create a wrinkle.
Yeah.
And smiling creates wrinkles.
Yeah. And so happiness and joy create wrinkles.
Happiness and joy create wrinkles.
Just like Mama here. She's got, I call myself the Velveteen Rabbit.
That's right.
Because the longer you stay alive, the more your fur gets rubbed off because everybody loves you.
Yes. I just wish my fur and my chin would rub off. Like, please.
We love you, Julie.
Yes, please love me enough to rub my hair off my chin and never come back. Well, it was interesting because so typically now when people take pictures, they just put them in their phone, right? You never really see them, yada, yada, yada. But we had a Polaroid there.
What?
Instant small pictures. Aww. And it's so kind of cute,
shake
right?
it like a Polaroid picture.
Yes, kind of cute. Except what happened was I realized, I'm like, it's been a long, hard year.
Mm-hmm.
And I smiled one time. I'm going, oh, you need some teeth whitening.
You could use some teeth whitening.
I need to really start upping my ante this year.
I'm gonna make a list: baby aspirin, Crest white strips.
Yes. I'm gonna have
one
to start
of, like a one of the defers.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe I'm gonna go in and start going to a
good choice.
Yeah, you're gonna say dermatologist.
Yes.
To get the Botox.
Yes.
Because I realize
I've been telling you for a couple years.
I know.
I said you're not too young.
I know.
To start getting
and,
Botox.
And now I'm too old to really have really appreciate it. I'm turning the corner. But I will. I will start going to dermatologist.
Get your eyebrows threaded.
I'm going to start really taking and just say, it's going to cost me, but it's going to be worth it. Because
it will
this
be
face
worth
is
it.
Going to turn 100.
120.
And I mean, I can be looking at...
121. Yeah.
No. That means you really lived 140.
That's right.
If you're 121,
that's right. That's
I think
right.
I can live to be 120.
Yeah, that's right.
101. I don't need to be 120.
No.
I mean, maybe I do. Maybe I'll... Because if I'm living to be 100, maybe at the tender age of 75, you know, the Lord says, Julie, your womb is now ready for a baby.
That's exactly right.
And I'll be like, really, Lord? Really?
Just like Abraham and Sarah.
This womb's ready for a baby.
Remember,
okay.
She laughed when God said... You're gonna, at 99, he said, you're going to have a baby. And she went, how dare you laugh at me, Sarah? Like,
well, and if I'm on the Greg Braden plan, then this womb could be. And by that time, I will have learned enough to be a good parent.
Or you can have your robot do it.
I can have my robot baby. Oh, not just a robot baby, but actually have a robot nanny.
Right.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes wonder if we have to stay alive longer because really the younger generation has figured out a way not to need to be a part of the workforce. But, you know, everything's online. So all they have to have is their computer and a hookup.
Yeah.
And, you know, mama can afford, you know, an extra $30 a month to keep them hooked up to the internet. So they're living their whole life on, on whatever.
Yeah, and we're like following Elon Musk.
Yes, down the path. Okay, I want to talk about Elon Musk and Saturday Night Live. Because there's a correlation between that and the shower. But the one thing I want to talk about first.
Okay.
Real quick, I want to throw this out there.
Yes.
It's a question. So, do you know how you find out if orangutans are pregnant? How do you know when an orangutan is pregnant?
Oh, really?
Yeah, how do you know?
You're giving me an animal question.
I'm giving you an animal question. Because when I saw this done, I was like, good job, people.
Oh, good job. Okay, are the orangutans the orange-butted people?
Yes.
The ones that have the big butts?
No.
That hang out like...
You remember that movie, those movies with... What's his name?
Yeah.
Guy's almost 100 years old now.
That guy.
His mom's 120. What's his name?
That guy.
Oh, my God. An American classic actor that we should know. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those movies?
Yeah.
Anyway, Which Way But Loose.
Yeah.
And, you know, where he had these.
The orangutan.
Yeah, those what those guys look like.
Yeah. Okay.
Not, you know.
I think you can tell by, you can't ask them.
No, you cannot ask them.
Okay. You can't make them get a pregnancy test.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
You're on the right track.
Oh. Okay, cool. Is it with their spit?
No.
Like spit on something and then
nope, not their spit.
It's their pee.
It's their pee.
Yeah.
So as scientists.
Well, that's just how it is with
exactly.
With
we're
girls.
Just like them. So what happens is scientists who've gone to school for 4 to 6 or 8 years, and then they have interns, and then they tell their interns, the scientists wear these big hats. They cover them up almost look like umbrellas. No, and their interns just have like baseball caps, but they have a long pole with a bag. And they find it when they see an orangutan swinging around, they go, okay, that's a female orangutan. And then it's the intern's job to try and catch their pee with his bag. And they're like, so first you just got to stay there and wait. And they're like, that one's peeing. And then you run and you try and catch their pee from the sky.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Skyfall.
Skyfall. But here we are. How do you, this day and age, how do you know when an orangutan's pregnant?
Uh-huh.
Got to do a test with their urine. How do you catch it? A bag and a pole.
How do you catch the orangutan? What's the point of this?
No, they're in a national forest in Borneo.
Oh.
And you need to see if the population, for whatever reason, they only have like 3 babies in a lifetime. The female orangutan, which I'm like,
interesting.
Yeah,
so are we doing this to try and care for them?
Yeah, protect them. Make sure the population is growing.
Okay,
kind of helping it out a little bit because in this, and then it gets dark, which is in this one area.
I don't want to know.
Okay, good.
That somebody's eating the orangutan.
I turned it off before I saw that.
Okay,
part.
Good.
But if
I don't
not
like
inside
that part.
The national forest and
all
park,
rules go away.
Yeah, there are no rules.
Oh
no, one's catching their pee.
Oh no.
And like,
I thought you meant like no one's.
They're not protected.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just kind of it.
Yeah.
Well,
like, remember, like, in the, like, right across the street from us, we have a big herd of bison.
Yes.
And they were the people who take care of the bison. The babies that were being born, they found out because of, I guess they checked the DNA.
Yes.
That, like, 90% of them were being born by this one big bison named, we call him Beto, Beto the Bison. And they were all being born by him, meaning that the other male bison were not even having a chance.
No.
And so...
Now, is it because Beto had game or the other ones lack game?
We called them 2 chains.
We did. Okay, cool. I like it. I like it, 2 chains.
And he had his own vodka brand.
He had game.
But the other, there were other male bison, but they were not procreating like Beto was. And then this year, we found out that, we've known for a little bit that Beto, they removed Beto.
Yes. Wink, wink. He went to a different farm.
Yes. He went to that big, I hope that they didn't just put him on a different farm.
They just say that. They just put him on a different farm. You know, he's a good guy. His sperm is well. I mean, it does great.
Yeah, he does good.
Yeah, I mean,
he loves the ladies.
And exactly. I mean, he's got game. And it's like, or is he rapey? Maybe he's just rapey.
Oh, that little fucker.
Yeah. He's just a rapey bison. Yeah. You know, that's not good. I don't know.
Now I'm changing his name from Beto to Cosby.
Yeah.
Cosby.
he roofs the girl.
Roofies.
Roofies the bison. Well, you know, you never know. That could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know their culture.
We don't know.
I don't know what they're doing over there in that
thing. What the heck?
Yeah. That Beto guy might be just he figured out that this leaf from this plant makes all the girls a little bit more agreeable.
when they sleep.
So I was like, okay. You know.
So you cannot be, you're not woke enough to do that joke. That's a woke joke.
I'm assuming that the bison have no ways of getting counsel.
They have no skin in the game.
They have no skin in the game. They're like, they don't care. Yeah. They don't care. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But if they do, I apologize.
As long as they take care of the baby bison, we don't care.
I just want to say to the bison, I apologize now.
Yeah.
I'm growing as a person in society.
Yeah.
I know now the difference.
Yeah.
And you
must go to a class.
I'll take a class.
Take a class on bison.
Yes.
Compassion.
Yes. And I'm sure that Beto was not forcibly, you know, I'm sure all the female bison were willing participants.
And if they weren't, and not only that, but they signed agreements.
Yes. I'm sure that's all what happened, went down.
Okay.
You know, I'm just sure. I'm sure of it. 100%. I'm sure of it. Yes. So, you know, one of my oddly weird shows that I like to watch on Sunday morning, the day of our Lord, is Hoarders. I think it reminds me
of Doug.
Sure. No. Up to don't let shit get too far out of control.
Yes, yes.
Because we have a nice house and we keep our house clean. There are a few places.
But we do have a doggy.
Well, there's a few places that we could purge.
Yes. And, oh, 100%.
Our basement.
100%.
And it's our rafters. And the reason why, because we don't see it. Also, the problem is, when we buy new stuff, anybody, your home has its natural homeostasis environment.
Yes.
And if you bring something in, you should immediately bring something out. Yeah. And there have been times we haven't done that.
Oh, and your father is, I think your father is the big.
Yes, exactly.
Do you remember when Greg lived in his car for that year?
Or yes.
Not even a year.
No.
But he would never put one thing in unless he took one thing out. His car was neater than our house.
I know. Time. He had it very, very well organized.
Right.
Now, he didn't need to leave in his car, per se. I mean,
No, there was a reason.
Yeah. He needed a cleanse, a spiritual cleanse.
Yes.
This was his journey.
Yes. Everybody needs to live in their car or something like that in their lives.
To purge the mind of all past thoughts and to have a reset, reboot, unpack, all that stuff.
All those words. All those woke words.
So can I talk a little bit about what we've been doing with the...
On the hoarders?
No, with the ACT.
ACT.
Spell it out.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So we're kind of, in the midst, we got a lot of stuff going on. We'll share about this later.
Yes.
A lot of stuff going on.
A lot of wheels in the, a lot of spokes in the wheel.
And a week ago, you threw out another spoke.
I'm sorry, but
you did.
I really wanted to do this.
Oh, you're like, here's something else in 4 or 5 days, in less than a week. And I'm like, okay, great. You want to take a class from Act One,
right,
which is a writing class to write screenplays.
Right.
And it's mostly for Christians.
Right.
But, they're edgy or two sometimes.
Oh, yes.
And you were approved years ago, but you would have had to go to California.
Right.
And
stay there for a summer.
And this was a time when your mom was kind of sick.
Right.
And you chose not to go. But you were they accepted you and you were approved.
Right, right.
But thanks to COVID, yay, everybody does stuff differently.
Now we're doing it Zoom-like.
Zoom-like.
Yes.
But the problem is you still have to be freshly vetted.
Yes.
And which means we have to write a 5-page screenplay.
Right.
Do log lines.
Long lines.
Which
right.
we came up with. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Write a spiritual journey autobiography for just 2 or 3 pages.
Yeah.
You know, resume, all this stuff. Yeah. And in the midst of other things going on in our lives right now, and it has to be done by Thursday. And I'm like,
and I also asked, I asked you politely,
yes,
if you would be my writing partner.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that you did, because you accepted.
Because
not only are you my partner in this podcast journey for 12 years.
Yes.
But now you will be my writing partner in this
which
journey.
Which I've always had
for 50 years now.
Yes, exactly. And I think I told you one time, I think recently, we were, when you're contemplating living to be 100,
yes,
you don't think about, or even like 200, oh my God, you don't go, well, great, I'll be retired from the time I'm 65 till I'm 200.
Yeah. Social Security will love you for that.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point, they're going to cut you off.
And some of them are going saying, how about getting that job at Walmart? Because we could use a little bit of, we need more employees. It's like, okay. And so
you'll be able to do all the things that robots can't do.
Right. Now, I don't know. I have been blessed to have a mother with big dreams. Mm-hmm. And every dream that I've had has really, I hate to say it, which is, which we call codependent, but I don't have time to use those terms anymore. I think those are old, archaic terms.
Old terms.
Yeah. Antiquated. They don't work.
Yeah.
But so I have been fortunate that you've had really good dreams that I've been able to experience and kind of had some fun with.
Yes.
And, you know, and so you said, hey, I love to do this. I'm like, oh, Mom, you go ahead. You got this, girlfriend. You can do this. You can do act one. I know you're a great writer. You can get this. And you're like, oh, Julie, I don't see this happening unless you're my writing partner. I'm like, huh. Okay.
That was really my truth, though.
That's your truth.
Yeah.
And so the initial reaction was, okay, what does this mean for me exactly? And do I have time for this? I'm like, you know what? I do have time.
I just peed a little
did
bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
I do have time, girlfriend, to, and so, you know.
In the midst of LUD.
Yes.
And truck driving.
Yes.
And everything
and we're
else.
And we are selling, possibly selling, can I say that?
Sure.
Our classic car,
yeah,
which is a hassle because we're in the midst of appraising it and going to lawyers. It's all a thing.
Right.
And it's like, so there's a lot going on and there's something else going on. And we're just like, oh my God, this is a lot, Mom. But you know what?
It's a lot. And in the midst of that, we're going on vacation.
Yes. In the midst of that, we're going on vacation next weekend.
We declared that.
We figured, we knew that these dates were coming down.
Yeah.
And we're like, at this date, we're going to take 4 days off and we're going to go to a camper or to a little
cabin
and we're going to just,
it's and really
then
five
and then
days.
Your exact words were, we were going to create a new vision board. Cause Julie.
Cause all of our dreams are coming true.
Exactly. Cause if I'm going to be living to 120, I cannot, cause your mind does not work like that. Like at the shower, I asked Nana, which is Ash's grandma.
Yeah.
I don't mind saying her name. I'm scared. She's out.
Yeah.
We need to look her up. She's not, no one knows her. I go, how's your husband doing? Mm-hmm. Goes, he sits in front of the TV. He takes naps. He eats. He poops. And that's all he does every single day. And I'm like, in some ways, that sounds fun for one day.
Right.
But if you had to live to be 200,
right,
and that was your retired life,
right,
well, and then obviously you go, well, that's just not right.
Right.
And what's the point, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I am really standing firm that you are blessed to be a blessing.
Exactly.
So Mom has decided that we're going to go away because some of our dreams are coming true. And it's like, or some of the goals are being checked off.
Yes.
Changing from faith
to
reality.
Right.
And once it becomes reality, it's off the faith board.
Right.
And like, hey, we need to create a new vision board for these things. And we're like,
we do.
And I'm like, girlfriend, I'm strapped in. I'm ready for the ride. I have zero resistance.
It's kind of like Elon Musk's rocket to Mars.
Well, okay. So I want to talk about hoarders. I want to talk about Elon Musk. Okay. Mm-hmm. First off, hoarders.
Okay.
So the reason I brought up Act One is because you have this. You have these characters called Zomboys.
Right.
And they're a traveling wrestling team. You've written one story about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you, but in your mind, they're like, it's hard to say. It's kind of like Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same quote unquote character, different guys play him, different scenarios that he's in. Sometimes he's old, sometimes he's young. So you've got these zomboy characters. Sometimes they're fighting Nazis from the past.
Right.
They're not at this moment.
No.
They're a different, whole different crew.
Different crew.
Whole different crew. But for whatever reason.
It's like Menudo.
Yes. Exactly. But for whatever reason, the semi-professional wrestling environment has always been a turn on to you.
Yes. Semi-semi.
Semi-semi. I don't know why.
You know, one rung of the ladder above amateur.
Yes. And the ladders are very close. Rungs are very close
exactly.
together.
Exactly.
Okay, so anyway. So today on Hoarders, they had on Cobra. He's a one-name word.
No.
His name is Cobra. Very famous wrestling manager, best wrestling manager of all time. And he, and I thought,
Cobra Kai.
To me, just Cobra. And he had a hoarding issue, very severe hoarding issue. Also, he needed to, like in your stories, you, the wrestling's a side hustle.
100%.
It's not their main hustle.
No.
Which is good, because in Cobra's world, it was his main hustle, and he took it, took the ring life to his home life.
Uh-oh.
And he was always like, Cobra! I'm Cobra! I do everything in extremes! I should get a medal! He said, I'm not joking. He literally said, I should get a belt for hoarding, because I'm the best hoarder out there! I'm Cobra! I'm like, okay, dude.
You do get the belt for hoarding.
And the first thing I realized is that he had 135 acres.
Oh,
or
wow.
Or was it 35? It was either 35 or 135. Both are pretty cool.
Either way, it's a lot.
Either way is a lot.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how the city got involved. Oh, I know, because he was hoarding vehicles. Like, he used to have, like, tons of vehicles, unpermitted.
Oh.
And somebody called and said, hey, this guy's
got too many vehicles.
And I, you know, and when's the line between nosy neighbor and, like, this guy is really on a path he could die in his hoard, and we need to give him some professional help.
Yeah.
And
as long as there's no animals involved, I don't, you know what I mean?
There's always animals involved.
Oh, Julie, don't tell me that.
Well, I mean, and not like they're living in cages. They're just living in the
But were they being fed?
Oh, they're always being fed. I mean,
okay,
like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Because like in those commercials, you know, where they, you see their bones and stuff.
Well, I know. No, they're always being fed. I get you, though. I don't want to talk about that.
No.
Thanks for bringing me down.
No.
Give me the finger. Like, really bring me down? Why? But anyway, what I was amazed about was it said 19 million people in America have a hoarding issue.
Jeez.
That seems hot.
How many people are in America?
350 million, let's say.
Okay.
Which still looks like a lot. Because I think what happens, though, for every hoarder, that mess affects
Their children.
It's like, it's a destruction that goes down and down and down.
It's so sad.
It is so sad. And so I, you know, first
there's always there's the kids that like leave and like never come back because it's too painful. And then there's always that one kid that kind of hangs around and like has to go in and check on them. And
well, like the one hoarder today, he had a real mean streak. He said, I have an extreme personality. You go, if your house is on fire, I'm the first one to come in and rescue you if I like you.
Is that Cobra?
No, it's a different guy.
Different guy, okay.
He's guy. He goes,
yeah, this guy's like, extremely.
Yeah. He goes, but if I don't like you,
burn.
You're cut off from my life. I'm like, okay. And they ended up having, and so somehow their kids, this couple's kids, they're now like retired. Let's say 65, 70.
He's a couple. He's
not Cobra. This is the other guy. Let's call him Bill.
But he's coupled, though.
Yes.
He's got a wife.
Not only does he have a wife, his kid could not take care of his kids, and he adopted his grandchildren.
Oh, no.
And then got and started a game with the daughter of like calling the trash game. Like, let's find good trash to recycle. And he started, and then so she became a hoarder as well. And these kids are young, like 13, 14, and like 10 or 11.
The ones that he adopted?
Yeah, and they've been in the house for a long time, and the house is just, you know, packed.
It's,
you know, they're not going to hoarders on TV because, you know,
is pretty.
And what can be done in just a couple of days of just superficial cleaning can be kind of fixed.
Right.
No, no, no. These are serious issues. Yeah.
Like when one of your... excuse me.
Yeah, we're both coughing.
I wonder if something's going on.
Who knows? What are you going to say?
I was going to say one of your faux kids had a big dumpster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. Because they were moving. They put the house on the market. And then 2 days later, got an offer. It is a crazy time in the world.
Yeah. Crazy time.
And unfortunately, we're not wanting to sell our house at the moment. It would be a perfect time. But maybe it's a perfect time for things to go up. Who knows? Yeah. It's kind of interesting. We take advantage of it. Who knows? But that's okay. So, but it was weird. So they adopted these two kids. They're living in squalor.
Yeah.
And you're just going, oh my God, can we get better from this? I mean,
the best we can do to make is to make a show of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they do.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because I hope these people, there's no way to come back from this.
Yeah.
What happens is they die and leave the mess for their kids.
Yeah.
And then the kid goes, and if the kids left,
because
sometimes the kids get out at 18 or 22 and they're like out the door and they never come back.
Right.
You know, and then they come back and then they cry because like, oh, I didn't know it was this bad. And you're like, really? Okay. I get you. It's all emotional.
Right.
But it is because it compels me to not want to do, like, I don't want stuff.
No.
And I'm pretty adamant about it because sometimes you're like, don't you want this? I go, I really don't want or need anything.
Right.
I like
you
experiences.
Don't. You don't.
I would like experiences.
Yeah, you like experiences.
But I do not want a damn thing.
Well, see, for me, I consider myself long, you know, decades and decades ago, I decided that I was going to be what I called a householder.
Yes.
And that was my idea was that I can take care of my household.
Yes.
And I want to do it in a great way.
Yeah, I don't know why we're both kind of in the gargling voice today.
Do you think that there's some allergies or something?
No, it could be. You have a little coffee.
I'm going to go get a little lozenge. Hold on.
Okay, you get a lozenge. I'll talk because I have no problem just talking. Thanks for...
I do.
I could just keep talking about myself all damn day long. You know? And acknowledge the fact that for whatever reason, I know I'm a fast talker, but this, in the last month or two, was the realization that the world has become fast talkers.
I know.
I know why. And that is because we are training people to listen to their podcasts at 1.5 speed or 1.25 speed.
That's true.
And so by doing so, our brains are training ourselves to speak faster.
Yeah.
Fire, and which is great because then
I know I've said to you because you do things at 1.5 and I go, Julie, isn't there a 1.25?
And you're like,
please,
no, it's always 1.5, not 1.25. Did you see that one photo that's been going around that's kind of viral? So
which
the
one?
Bidens went and saw the Carters and then they took a picture together and the Jimmy Carter and his wife,
Rosalind
Carter, they're both sitting in recliners, little tiny recliners.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're 4 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
And the Bidens are kneeling next to them, each one. And it looks so weird because Joe Biden is kneeling next to Rosalind Carter and he literally looks 12 feet tall.
Oh my God.
To her.
Oh my God.
Her feet don't touch the floor.
Yeah.
You know, it is freaking me out.
Yeah. You can't, you see, if you're going to be 120, you can't do that.
No.
I don't know how they're going to invent that.
Well, the first thing I told you, I'm going to get my teeth done this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the dermatologist. Those are the things I'm going to put on my vision boards.
Right.
Because what I also need to have happen is we're going to get those teeters.
Yes.
And we're going to do inverted therapy.
Stretch.
We're going to stretch our bodies and hang upside down.
Right.
Because that cannot happen.
Just like the orangutans.
And I'm going to have to trust that medical science will start figuring out better ways to treat our bodies so that we can live to be 120 and live well.
Because if AARP says that.
It's true.
It's you bet. You can make bank on it.
Yes. Well, AARP's. Well, but the other thing is. I have had a nice life.
Not only that, but the thing is, too, is they are they are advertising for younger folks.
Yes.
They want you to start coming in at about 45 now.
They do. They want they want the money.
Yeah.
They want the money.
Wouldn't you
through.
Like to be, you know, have an AARP card?
Yes.
Don't you want to get off, you know, get shows on Tuesday afternoon?
Right.
50% off.
Don't you
want
that?
Don't you
want
to go to Olive
yeah.
Garden
yeah.
for 10% off?
Yeah. Well, here's a dealio. Because, you know, I'm a fan of Andrew Yang.
You know it.
I'm a fan of Andrew Yang.
Me
think
too.
I think he's got some interesting ideas.
Me too.
He sees the world, the future world, the way it's moving, which
I love
is,
it. Yeah.
You know, like, hey, guys, we're not losing our factories to Mexico. We're
no.
losing them to the robot arm.
Right, right.
And, you know, let's, you know, and if, and companies, and this is my problem with companies, because Ford, who does have a lot of employees, is actually valued, I think, less than Uber, or one time it was.
Right.
Or it was
right.
weird, or made more. And,
right.
and who really, to my mind, they don't employ anybody. I mean, they're just
Ford.
No.
Uber. Oh, yeah.
They don't own the cars.
Right.
They don't own the people.
Yeah.
They don't employ them. They don't pay them health insurance or you know.
Right.
You're basically just getting people an app. And Uber's job is just to make sure that the app runs appropriately.
Right.
And
it sounds kind of like Bitcoin and virtual
yeah.
cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that's how the world's going. In fact, we know somebody fairly close to us who just walked away with about $100,000 this week.
Yes.
Because he bought Bitcoin.
Yes.
And decided to sell.
Yes.
And so now he's moving to a $400,000 house.
Yes. Yes. And he told me that his father said, I think it's time to remove the horseshoe from your butt. And I said, no, if there is a lucky horseshoe up your butt, you should yeah. try and keep it there.
You bet.
It could be your next kink. And just let it stay. Let it ride. And become the person that you're blessed to be a blessing.
Right.
That's the whole motto. You're blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, so Andrew Yang's big thing is this universal...
it's a universal income.
Universal basic income.
Yeah.
And
UBI.
Yeah.
As opposed to a UTI, which hurts.
And I think
this
UBI is a horrible name for the calling this UBI. Because it's only UTI.
I agree.
You know? Yeah, yeah. UTIs hurt.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do so. But anyway, but he talks about everyone should get $1,000 a month when you become a
right.
18 or whatever.
Right.
He said by doing so, he goes, what are the benefits? The benefits are that we immediately, you immediately increase the IQs 15 to 18, 18 points.
People, that's right.
He goes, that's one deviation up.
Yeah.
He goes, what would our country be like if we were all one deviation smarter?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had chills thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, could we take the money from other places that we're blowing the money at?
Yeah.
Because to
you
solve problems.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. I mean,
It's
exciting. What if parents actually were able to, instead of getting caught in drugs, they were depressed. They knew they could take care of their kids,
right.
and people were staying together, right. and all this good stuff, right?
And also, too, like what $1,000 does for the local economy.
The local economy.
That's and everything. If anything good's going to come out of stuff, it's got to start at that local
right.
level.
Because $1,000 doesn't make your life great.
No,
it means you can feed. You
yeah.
know, and if you and your spouse can, you know, you can like, I can get a little apartment. You can take care of yourself better.
Like, here's the thing.
And here's a higher baseline.
Yeah. So if you had $1,000, you could have a little bit of a small life and still make ukuleles.
Yes.
Which is
he called it capitalism with not starting at zero.
Compassionate capitalism.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Like AARP is talking about living longer, 100.
Right.
But what really... If Social Security starts at 65, but 67 for me, and probably 70 for me, I have no idea. But anyway,
yeah.
and I live to be 120,
yeah.
that's 50 years I'm getting a basic universal
right.
income.
Right.
All of a sudden, it doesn't seem that far-fetched that we should figure out a way now to giving everybody a starting point above zero.
Right.
Now, the way he talks about it is that he says corporations are making more and more money
yeah.
because they are using less and less employees.
And there should
they're
be.
They're going more automatic.
Right.
Robotic. Robotic.
Yeah.
And he goes, other countries that are seeing this shift are already taking care of this. And he goes, if you're not paying for an employee, and paying for a robot, that money should go into the kitty to help pay for people to
elevate. Right. Exactly.
And I'm like, holy shit, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, if...
And that should be a law.
Yes. If you're going to have automated cars, automated trucks, you know, all right, then what? You know, but then like you said, once you got, then you're like, okay, now we become more creative.
Right.
You will always have a population that won't want to do anything.
And what do I say? What do I say about how the world is divided right now?
The world is divided into creators and people who need to be entertained.
Right. So you're either creating content or you're being entertained by it.
Yes. That was even more succinct. Because I want to be a creator, but I'm not sure if I want to be. I don't want
to
create content for everybody. But I guess
I shouldn't have said that word. Content.
No, but that was. I think that was very, very thoughtful.
Thank you.
In the new day and age, where if we're all living virtually, it's either creating content or creating entertainment, or you're partaking in the content.
Right, exactly.
The content can be of a vehicle or art or whatever.
Right.
And then somebody's partaking it. It's very interesting.
Right.
So I'm like, this is a very fascinating way of looking at that universal basic income. Because same thing with Medicare. You get health insurance that you pay for, though. I mean, Medicare is only free for Part A.
Right.
There's Part B. There's Part E, F, and G.
All the way to
Yeah, but all the way.
Soon it'll be up to like M.
Z, yeah. But you pay for those things. Yeah. It would be beneficial. I think that if we all were able to have Medicare and we all had a basic free.
That's the baseline.
And then you pay for the rest.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with that system?
Exactly. Now, when I talked to some people about this idea, the first thing they say was, like, I don't ever talk about it unless somebody brings it up. They like, our healthcare is only expensive because some people don't pay for it. I go, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I said, because a lot of people don't pay for their health care. It's all paid by taxpayers. You know, I mean, like, I'm not saying, and then like teachers, it's part of their job, but they get some of their finances or their salary of health care, but it's paid for by taxpayers.
Right.
So it's like when you think about everybody who works for the state, local, federal governments, who's
all get paid by
taxpayers. Right. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, maybe it just kind of feels like maybe we got to think in a bigger global way.
Absolutely.
All I know is that we typically spend 17% of our budget, our national budget, this is what I heard, on some kind of healthcare. That is high compared to other developed countries. And we're not healthier.
No.
And I go, well, then that's the problem.
Well, we can just learn. We can learn.
We can learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what we do have is we have people who are smart, who like to figure things out. And I know mistakes are always made, and I'm okay with that. Like, like we're all just continually growing. You've said a line to me lately that, like, we're perfectly being perfected daily.
100%.
So we're not perfect.
No.
We're perfectly being perfected daily.
Exactly.
So two things I want to say though too, because I talked about Cobra, because I wanted you to be aware that I'm glad that your wrestlers were not all into the wrestling, but also had side hustles.
Yes,
as you said, gifts that will be necessary for them to save the world.
Yes,
which I appreciate that. And then, excuse me, coughing a little bit. Talking about the shower and Elon Musk. And so I watched Saturday Night Live with Elon Musk. I thought it was hysterical.
I know. I heard you laughing out there.
And you go, Julie, I'm hearing you laughing. I go, I'm watching Saturday Night Live, Elon Musk. And it's fabulous.
It's like my brain was like, Saturday Night Live, yes. Elon Musk, really?
And it was recorded, so I get to skip over the commercials. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I had heard mixed views about it. One was people didn't like the fact that he was going to be on Saturday Night Live. He's a businessman. He's like the richest, one of the richest men in the world, you know, yada, yada, yada. Why should he be on it? He's not a comedian. Yeah, all this stuff. But what I liked about it, first off, he comes out and says he has Asperger.
Yeah.
And he goes,
I believe it too.
Oh, yeah. He says, people find me uncomfortable because I talk in a monosyllable, you know, very mono tone, yeah. and they have a hard time getting me and yeah. Knowing if I'm joking or not.
Right.
And I'm like, boom, that's it. That's exactly right. And I like everything. So I'm just like, he is who he is.
Yeah.
He is who he yeah. is.
I find him fascinating.
He and they wrote everything perfectly for him
yeah.
because they wrote him for a guy who is the richest or the second richest man mm-hmm. who's going to space and who has Asperger's mm-hmm. and is like mm-hmm. and they did a great job with writing the screen scenes that were perfect for him.
Right.
Because they like one scene was they're in the West and one of their buddy like old time West in a saloon and one guy is shot and all the guys around him, one's Elon Musk, are like, we gotta go get those guys and kill them and shoot them down. And Elon's like, I don't know about that. If we all go today, there's a good chance we're all gonna die because they'll shoot us back. What if we tunnel under the ground? I've got a tunneler that tunnels faster than a rodent. They're like, you know, they go, Leon, you acting smart again. Let's stop doing that. Let's just go out there with the guns blazing, you know. And so, and I laughed at that because it was just like wrote all these great scenes
yeah.
for him.
I fell asleep during the show, but I stayed awake enough to see his mom.
Yes.
And I thought that was sweet because it was a kind of a Mother's Day show.
And then they might be, I don't know, he might be first generation. Do you think he's first? Because I think she.
I don't know, but I asked Alexa because I said, Alexa, where is Elon Musk from? What's the dialect?
Yeah.
Because usually I can figure it yeah. out. And she said he was born in South Africa.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I mean, I've seen South African accents, and they sound Australian
yeah.
a little bit.
Well,
and he doesn't have that.
No, and so maybe his family is more multi-generational, multi. I don't know because I know they live. I mean, he's American.
Yeah,
he's United States.
Yeah,
I mean, he's from California.
But what about is the accent? Asperger's?
And his mom? I don't know. His mom had the same kind of.
I thought so.
And then I thought somebody said Finland. I'm like, oh, I kind of get that too. So who knows? I don't know his background.
Yeah,
but I do know that I've heard him interviewed many times, long form interviews. So yeah. I feel like I know the guy a little yeah. bit. And
he said he only smoked dope one time. On a podcast, and that was the Joe Rogan one.
And he goes, now I'm known.
and it was interesting because that's the only podcast of Joe Rogan's that I actually wanted to see.
Yes.
Because I wanted to see him toke
yes.
up, you know. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Well, so, but in the Inside Night Live, there's a scene about the first party after COVID and how people had no idea how to communicate with anybody anymore. They're like, oh, what'd you do? How did you survive COVID? I got through it. Oh, okay, yeah. Would you do anything this year? Nothing. You know, like you didn't know people anymore.
Right.
And before, excuse me, guys. I'm so sorry we have these frogs in our throats. Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, before you guys left the party, before
right.
everybody started showing up,
right.
about an hour before, everything looked set. We're like, this is good. You said, I wish we would have had music. I go, that's what I wanted to write down. Bring my boom box so I can, yeah. you know, connect.
Right.
And you're like, you know, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get the boom box. I want to bring it back to you, Julie.
I want the party to be
good. Rocking. That boom box is called Party Box. I'm bringing the
it
party
really
box
was the
to
party
you.
Box. That's right.
And so about 2 minutes before you get the party started, you brought the boom box. And then Quinters was like, oh, yeah, go onto your Spotify and, you know, look for a station that will be like, or not Spotify. And not to get confused with Shopify. But anyway, and I go, I don't have Spotify on my phone. I just do mine through YouTube. I will unhook, you know, I will,
yeah.
and then I'll let you hook up. Uh-huh. And then, so she did it. And it was great to have music because we were so not used to communicating.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable asking people what they do anymore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what do you do for a living?
How dare you ask
yeah.
me that?
Don't ask me what I do.
Yeah. How dare
I'm
you?
I'm more than what I do.
Yeah.
I go, I know you are, but
I
don't know what
you
to
ask.
How dare
you my age?
And then, exactly. You can't ask about anything. Do you have kids?
How dare you ask me if I have children?
I know. Well, it was so weird. Okay. Because there was a woman there and I'm pretty sure I'm 99% sure she was transgendered.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you were 100% sure yesterday.
I'm 100% sure yesterday. Well, cause now I don't know if that's fluid. It, yeah. Like,
I did, you're saying, I just felt like a girl today.
No, no, I don't. Right.
You felt like a Diana Ross impersonator.
And so, but anyway, she came in with a child that was obviously not her own, but I pretended that she was. Because I'm like.
Because the kid wanted free food.
The kid came in, little kid, and I said, why don't you ask your mommy? She came in with this child.
Right.
No one else around.
Right.
And I go, you ask her if she can have food. She's like, okay.
I don't know.
I don't, this kid's
is
not
she
mine.
Hungry?
This kid's not mine. I'm like, okay, good. We're in agreement with that. But I did not know. I could not tell. I did not want to say this kid was not yours or, you know, or whatever. You
so
know.
You asked if she was hungry and she goes, I don't know.
No, I asked if she could, if the little boy,
yeah.
I go, because I had these candy bags.
Right.
But a 3-year-old can't have candy unless they ask their mom.
Right.
And this woman was here with this four-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and they were there by themselves for a while. And I'm like, this kid must be her mom. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, ask your mom. And so the little boy runs out then and goes to the street and asks the mom. I'm like, oh, okay, good. Oh, somebody else came. I'm like, okay, now the picture is more complete. Because I literally, like, I don't, you don't know anymore.
Right.
Like, I make assumptions.
Yeah, but you said she was kind of like, dressed like a Diana Ross drag queen.
Oh, she had it all going on.
She was all there in a bag of chips.
Which always makes me feel a little less of a woman.
Yeah.
It always does.
You were lucky. You trimmed your eyebrows.
Yes.
And you put some
plucked the hair.
And you put some base on.
And some mascara and some lip gloss.
What?
Yes.
What?
And I poofed up my hair, yeah. And had tendrils.
Yes.
So I was as close to being ready for this party as I was gonna get. But it's true. I mean, she made me feel like less of a woman, but I was like, I can work up to it.
Yeah.
It made me be inspired.
Yeah. Thigh-high boots.
To be better.
Thigh-high boots, big hair.
Yeah. And I thought, very dramatic. I can go anklets on my bootlets.
Yeah.
I can work this. You know, I can work it. I need to up my ante.
How come men had this amazing picture of these glamorous females, and us as females just want to, like, you know what? Let's just put our hair in a ponytail.
What I want to know is how come men can get away with growing their hair down to their knees and that's all hip, you know?
You don't, sorry, but what is that?
I do not know.
It is so gross to see these men with these long beards. I can't imagine the women. I can't, honestly, I don't understand how the girls are getting it.
I wouldn't want it. I can't have it. And luckily,
I think that'd be so lucky.
Yeah. Know, luckily, yeah. Douglas does not do that. He's not a beard guy.
Yeah.
Thank God. I mean, he can.
But you are his beard, though.
This is true.
Sorry, Jules.
So I have to change.
You let that one be wide open, girlfriend.
I know. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
What? It was great.
It was great. It was great.